Ba-da-bum. Do-do-do. 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 I can hear something.
How's that? Is that better?
That's cool. That's very cool. You sound very close.
Perfect.
I'm always kind of freaked out by the fact that people are so far away, but their voice is in my head.
Oh, I
That
know. I know. It's really weird. It's like, I know I watch a lot of like meditations on YouTube. And when, especially when you've got the headset on or the headphones, it's like they're inside your brain. And I was doing one yesterday just because I was searching online and on hypnosis. And it was just a short, quick little video. And he said, you know, anybody, not everybody can be hypnotized. And so he does a little 1 minute thing to hypnotize you, and it's so crazy because it's like the voice is like right in your head with the headphones. It makes it a whole different experience.
I mean, I wonder if in the future it's going to get even more freaky, right? Because you're not going to have all the technology. The technology is going to be so small, it's going to fit into some little microchip that you, I don't know, maybe you stick it in your shirt or I don't know, whatever. And you're not even going to like be conscious of wearing anything. And you will be able to connect with people everywhere, and that's kind of freaky. I mean, that's next level bizarreness that I'm not ready for. So
Yeah, I kind of I'm on the fence with it. Like, I like technology, but it scares me at the same time. Like, I've been watching a lot of stuff on YouTube about people with technology and the AR, or is it AI? I can't remember. But artificial intelligence,
Yeah,
whatever.
doesn't
So
matter.
AI.
Which is
So,
we.
but yeah, either way, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, well, in a way, you know, if they have access to all my information, if I'm doing something wrong, then that would be a problem. But if I'm not doing anything wrong, then I don't understand what the big deal is. You know, like, privacy is great. I do believe in privacy, but at the same time, if you're not doing anything wrong, what are they going to do with your stuff anyway? You know what I mean?
It's like, what are they going to do with my cooking instructions? Or, what are they going to do with Uncle John's pills that I have to deliver to him at 7 o'clock? Or, it's there's going to be so much stuff to filter through that it's going to be impossible to control it, I think. Well, they're trying. They're trying, but I think it's all going to kind of backfire eventually, as every bad idea does eventually.
Well, that's just it. I know with the censorship and stuff, like, I've been following that quite closely, as have you, I know. And you know, they can only censor for so long, and then things change, right? Like, there's different platforms. There's, you know, I watch a lot of the QAnon stuff because I think, you know, it doesn't, even if it's not 100% truth, it's a different look on something, right? So, and I like to look from all angles, not just one sided. I'm pretty open-minded. And you know, they're talking about it on there, about censorship, but there's still certain platforms that these people can still have their opinion. And I think it's up to people like us to just inform people of that, you know, just because it's not there, it may be somewhere else. You just have to look a little harder.
Oh yeah, well, the history is adaptation and people moving on, right? Using technology for a while, and then as and when it's necessary changing and doing something different, because you can't survive within a sort of negative environment, right? If people are using information against people, it's going to come back to them eventually, because like anyone who tells lies, they're going to end up with no friends,
Yeah, that's right.
or only other friends who tell lies because they attract the like kind of person. And
Yeah.
then they can't go anywhere or do anything and just end up, turning on themselves, which is what will happen, eventually with this mindlessness of censorship. Although I was watching just about 20 minutes ago, I was on my exercise bike trying to get some of the toxic that's in my head out. And I was what was I was watching the EU regulations on sharing information across the internet now. That's frightening what they're doing. It's now illegal to quote more than one word of another person's article on the internet.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I mean,
Interesting.
that's insane. It
Yeah.
means you can't critique anything. It's banned all criticism because you can't critique it without playing it, right? Or presenting it. It would be insane. It would be like talking about, we're going to talk about a song, but we can't play it to you. The level of ridiculousness is epic, and hopefully humans will evolve. Oh my God, there's a Bajant pheasant. Sorry, there's a pheasant running down the road here. Oh my God.
Oh, nice.
There you go. There you go. Are you in your usual place? Are you at home, or where are you?
I
Like
am
the.
at home. Yep,
Okay.
that's
Okay.
where I
Super
spend
cool.
most of my time.
Okay. You may have guessed that I'm in the Highlands of Scotland right now. I don't know if you've been following what I've been doing, but I've been traveling around a bit, and I'm having a rough day. Have you ever had those days where shit just doesn't go? It just things just
Yeah.
don't
I
work.
actually did about a week ago. I had a day where I could have just crawled in a dumpster and stayed
Yeah.
there for a long time. It was just, and I don't know, like, if it was the weather, because nothing really was wrong, but I just felt like crap. Like, I felt like depressed almost, and I'm like, this is not me, because I'm not usually very depressed. And so I tried to leave the house, and I thought maybe that would make me feel better. And no, just the people, traffic was stupid, and people were dumb. And it's like, no, I should have just stayed home. So yeah, no, I think, I don't know, like, what the weather's like there, but here it's getting ready for winter, so it's fall. And the snow has already started, so.
Oh my God, I saw you posted something about that. No,
Yeah,
you posted
yeah.
it was snowing. My
Yeah, we
God,
got. It's all melted now,
it's
but.
September. Does it snow in
I know.
September? I mean, that's.
Usually we don't get snow until the end of October. Like, since I was a kid, that I can remember Halloween was always like the first snow.
That would be normal, right? That would be normal.
Yeah. Yeah, but this last couple of years, actually, because I was looking on my Facebook, and last year I posted on the 10th it had snowed of September. So it's getting a month earlier, but I think, like, I listen to all the conspiracy theorists and all that, and they say, you know, there's so many different theories. But to me, like, I think, like, the calendar year is not the calendar year, you know,
Oh
like,
yeah.
seasons change and times change, and I don't think it has anything to do perhaps with global warming, but maybe just, you know, time is time. I mean, we've talked about time many times, right? So I think it's all
Oh yeah.
about that. It's not so much, you know, something crazy is happening to the world, but maybe, who knows?
I think people like to think they have more control than they actually have. And
Yeah.
as a result, people tend to think that because of that, everything is conspiratorial in a negative sense. I sort of looked into that as well with the weather, and you can look at cloud seeding projects, and you can actually order the weather that you want. There are actually companies that will provide the weather that you want there. And you can find things, you know, that you can order snow for your snow resort and people will create it. And there's an interesting video I saw about NASA technology for making clouds, where they make clouds on the ground and send them up into the sky. You can put it into, I'm pretty sure you can put it into YouTube and like NASA technology for making clouds. And they've got big machines that do it for producing rains over farmland. So there is stuff out there, but I don't think it's completely under control. So
No.
you can imagine people sort of trying to create snow and then the wind coming along and sort of them kind of missing, right? You know, the area. So you can,
It's not as precise as some may think, I don't think. I mean, I
yeah.
think there's way more important things to worry about.
Oh yeah, exactly. I agree. You know, there are many things closer to home that are far more important. Yeah, and there's no way that most people are gonna have any way of controlling other things anyway. Although if anybody could send me some sunshine, that would be so much appreciated because I swear that Scotland has the shittest weather of any country on the planet. I swear it. Look, maybe I'll tell you why I'm in a funk today. I'll tell you why. There has been zero sunshine today. Zero.
That'll do
Zero.
it.
There, there's been
That'll do
there's there's been so much cloud cover. The sun has not even appeared today. And
Oh
I
no.
was I was Oh, you okay? You okay there? Something going
Yeah,
on?
I'm good. The little guy's just trying to push his brother off the chair. Oh,
Oh.
the joys of children.
Yeah, and you're like, but there's five chairs. Can't you sit in another chair? No, this is my chair. I want this chair.
Yeah, well, there's three other empty chairs at the table,
Yeah.
and he insists on sitting on top of his brother.
Of course, of course. You don't want to see my girls fighting for the pink cup at dinner time, right? You know, there's one cup that's pink, and that was a mistake, getting one pink cup.
Me and my husband were talking about this exact whole topic because I said, if there's one thing that I could take out of the world that would make the world a better place, I said, I feel like that would be money. And money
Okay.
would take away all the greed, and it would take away, like, I'm better than you. Everybody would just have abundance of everything. And he said to me, he says, I don't think so. I think we are born greedy. Like, this is just something we are. And I was like, he's kind of got a point because every child, until we condition it differently, wants what the other child has. It's just the way they are. It doesn't matter what child it is. Some are maybe a little more than others, but they will all go for something that somebody else has. And I was like, but that's greed. That's different. That's not got anything to do with money. That's something different. And so I was like, well, maybe it's not money, unless it's been put into our DNA, maybe so far ingrained, because money's been a thing for many, many years. So possibly, I don't know, babies 500 years ago or 200 years ago or 150 years ago, what they were like. But, it makes a person kind of question that. Like, where does that come from? If you have something, I want it. And then some people get away with that. Like, I'm not like that now, but I'm sure as a child I was. Until my mom told me that's not acceptable. You can't do that. You can't steal something out of somebody else's hands. But some parents don't teach their children that, and they'll still do that as adults, right?
Well, it's one of those challenges. I think that growing up is a series of challenges, and one of those challenges is not becoming attached to possessions, to physical elements, and the I want things that other people have. It's an attempt to possess objects with this theory that you will gain some kind of power from the possession of the object. And it's, the learning process is just learning to release this from yourself so that you are not tied to the objects. But we tend to be tied to lots of different things. When you're a child, it might be a toy or a teddy bear or something. And
Brad, no. Buddy,
I
hey,
have
no. You can't beat your brother up. Here, you go
no.
on the chair, on the other chair. Enough
No.
that.
No.
My goodness.
Oh, there we go. There we go. The fireworks
Now
have
he's,
started.
yeah, now he's mad. This
Whoa.
little guy, he's so little, but man, he's got a temper.
Oh, the screaming.
Brad,
I'm almost immune
just
to
go in your
screaming
room.
now. So.
Yeah.
Wow.
Brad, just go in your room and then he can't bug you, okay? Please?
I wonder if the
Bradley?
girls fight more or the boys fight more.
I think it's probably pretty equal. I'm not sure when they get older what it's gonna be like, but I don't know, from being little, it's pretty equal. I think once they get a little older, it's just different fights. Benji, you're gonna fall off the table, child. No.
Well, I
Brad, get off
Whoa.
that chair. Off the chair. Thank you. Go on. Go on that chair and then he can sit with you. The little guy wants to drink his bottle and he's leaning on the older one. And he's
Okay.
like, "You're hurting me. You're pushing me off the chair." There, I think we got
Real
that
time
sorted out.
parenting. I love it. Real time parenting.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, it's great.
I always find it amazing in all those parenting programs that they don't have any kids there. Right? They're always just instructing people how to do things without having any children around. It's like, no, that's kind of missing the point, right?
It's definitely
Yeah.
not real, that's for sure.
Always tell the kids, look, if you want to fight, we'll make a special ring outside and we'll give you some gloves and you can go at it with each other, okay?
Yeah, when they get older, yeah.
It's like if you want to fight, there are places where you can fight. It's not a
Yeah.
problem. If you want to fight, we can arrange. We'll take you to the local gym and you can try to beat the hell out of each other, right? With the gloves on and stuff,
Yeah.
if you want to fight. But otherwise, it's all just play acting, right? It's all
Yeah.
just a kind of power struggle in that kind of sense. So,
Yeah, and
my
they have to do it. I think that's a lot of parents, like, and myself included, is I'm constantly breaking up my kids, and it's like, really, a person should let them kind of go at it. Obviously, if it gets out of control, you have to deal with that. But I mean, if they're just dealing with each other, then they have to learn that as well. It's kind of like the world, right? There has to be a top dog, a dominant dog. And it's sadly, that's how it is in the world.
Yeah, and it's a tough choice as well because if you get involved, then you're teaching them that other people will solve your problems for you. And if you take a step back, then you're leaving everything to be whatever it is, and you're hoping that they find their own solution to it. And in both ways have risks.
Yeah, well, that's just it. And there has to be, I don't know, like I always look at myself as a referee, so I kind of, I'll stand out until I have to be called in, so to speak, and being that my kids are 3 years apart, there's a big difference in size and everything else. But in my situation, the little guy is the bully.
Oh yeah,
So,
well, little ones are because they don't have the restraint yet. I mean, my 3-year-old daughter will hit my 8-year-old son. She'll just hit him, and my 8-year-old son will complain about it. Now, the 8-year-old son's not hitting the 3-year-old, obviously. So, younger kids, I think, are more physical because they haven't learned to restrain themselves.
Yeah, that self-control.
Yeah,
I
they
know
don't
with
have it.
my 5-year-old, I have to tell him, because he'll be good, and then he'll all of a sudden he'll just kind of freak out, and he'll start punching and hitting, and I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa! I understand you're upset, but that's not how we deal with it. You're better off just to walk away,
Yeah,
because we
well,
can't hit each other.
I've seen the gradation of control through my kids, where it's really visible now that my son has a lot of self-control, who's 8. My daughter, who's 5, has some self-control, which is good, and my daughter, who's 3, has very little self-control. So, I'm saying very little self-control. She's actually very good, but I'm comparing them to each other rather than in general.
Well, and I think that's something we have to teach our kids in our own actions, and when I look at my situation, I'm very much the same. I'm kind of, I don't want to say passive aggressive, but if I'm being truthful, that's how I am, because I'll ignore a lot, and then I'll just like flip out, and I don't hit them, but I'll yell and get angry instead of just dealing with it in the moment and not getting angry. You know what I mean? And I think so many parents, including myself, do that because it's just sometimes it's easier. Like for me, I don't sweat the small things. I worry about the big things. That's the way I am with life. But with kids, sometimes we don't realize that those small things are important. They're not as small as what they may seem.
Oh yeah, they add up, and one of my issues is who knows what's going to go into the memory banks, right? Who knows what they're going to remember? And when I think back to my childhood, I'm sure there were a lot of fantastic things that happened, but I tend to focus a little bit more on remembering the negative ones for some reason. It seems to be e easier to remember negative elements than positive elements. So,
Well, I think they make a bigger impact, maybe. Cool. I think they make a bigger impact on us, because I know I'm the same. I don't, I try really hard to dig deep in my past for really good, good family memories and stuff like this, and it's like I can only find a couple. It's like my life compared to people I know wasn't that bad. But at the same time, it's like it could have been so much better.
Oh yeah, well, there's very little that certain people maybe in our age of life have to sort of look back on. I mean, if your parents had like a video camera and they made films of something, then maybe you've got some kind of record. I mean, pictures tell stories, but it's just such a small part of such a big picture, right? And I know that there's a couple. Oh, there's not many. There's a couple of videos, and maybe the total length of them is about 5 minutes altogether with all the videos. There's a couple of little videos of my teenage years, and I'm really lucky because most people didn't have a video camera, and my mother was a teacher in a school, and she borrowed like the video camera from school and took it home to do some kind of schoolwork, and we were able to use it for our own personal things, and so there's about there's lots of silly films of family stuff, but there's like 5 minutes of me and interaction between me and my parents, and it's really really interesting because I don't remember any of that, right? I think when you're going through it, I think when you're going through it, it's perhaps so traumatic, and I don't mean that always in a negative sense. I just mean traumatic, chaotic. There's so much happening all the time for a lot of people, especially if you're going to school and you're meeting and talking with friends, and everything's going on around about you. And maybe if like me, you kind of feel like a pinball sometimes, and because you're being taken here and driven there, and going to meet people in some place, and people are coming to visit, and there's a billion and one things going on all the time, and then you kind of don't have any grounding, really. Maybe it feels maybe the family think that you have, but they don't really. The perspective of the adult and the perspective of the child are completely different, right? What the adult can deal with
Oh, for sure,
without any problem, the child is like, you what? Oh my God. So.
No, I can totally agree with that, because I know that came up with my mom one time, because my stepdad was an alcoholic, and he didn't beat on her, but he was physically aggressive with her. And I can remember one time in particular, I could hear screaming, and when I came up, he had put her head through, he had pushed her into the chair, and her head hit the wall behind it and put a hole in it.
Oh my
And
God.
I said to my mom, just last year, I said to her, I was like, you say he wasn't abusive, but this is what I remember. And she's like, oh, Melissa, it wasn't that bad. And I was like, what? I'm like, what is wrong with me? And then I got thinking about it, and I'm like, I was probably 6 years old. And to a 6-year-old, that's fucking traumatic.
Oh yeah, it's huge. It's huge.
Maybe to you it's not, but to me that was horrid. To watch the my mother get her head put through a wall, that's not, there's nothing, not that's not bad at all. And so I, when I finally come to that conclusion, I confronted her with that. And I was like, now, yeah, it's probably whatever. It just was an accident. It was bigger than it seemed. But, from that perspective, it was traumatizing, and it changed my life in that moment. And she was like, oh, well, I'm sorry. But she didn't even look at it from that same perspective. So, yeah, it's interesting you say it like that.
Well, yeah, and I think it's not until later on that we put the pieces of the puzzle together. Especially when you have kids of your own, you begin to reflect on your own experiences, and then maybe things come back. I mean, I'm only now putting some of the pieces of the puzzle together, and that's partly because I've chosen not to for a period of time because. Control what you can control and just forget about the rest, right?
Yeah,
And
well, and sometimes, like, it sounds to me like you're not the kind of guy that's going to let it keep you down. But at the same time, if you don't have to deal with it, why would you? Because I
oh,
know
yeah.
that's how I am. It's like, shit happens, but you got to get up and you got to move on. You can't turn, and I sometimes wonder, all the traumatic things that I've been through in my life, why am I not a drug addict living homeless on the side of the road? Like, why? Why me? Why am I okay? And why is there other people that maybe even had less things go on, and they just can't cope with it? And I know for me, it's like I just have a life to live. I have shit to do. I can't let that, get me down. I can't. It just, to me, it makes me stronger.
Yeah,
So I don't know.
I think there are little decisions that have massive impacts that people don't realize. And let me give you a crass example. Let's say you drive your car down a certain road and you have an accident on that road, right? Your choice to drive that car down that road, which is just, one of those everyday decisions, leads to something which is traumatic. It's a very small choice, and you don't realize how impactful that small choice is going to be. And I think that every day we make those small choices that have massive impacts and could have massive impacts, but we're just kind of not aware of it. Well, in retrospect, it's the I always come back to the Steve Jobs quote that you can only connect the dots looking backwards, right? You can't connect them looking forwards. You can be sure of some things, but there's other things that we have no idea about. You can be sure who you're going
That's
to
right.
talk to in the meeting, but you can't be exactly sure what everybody's going to say. So you can prepare for some things, but not everything. And I think that we all have these experiences and make these choices, not knowing at all how important those choices are. I had a client about a year ago, and I was working with them through coaching, and I was talking to them about their relationship with their husband and how that developed in their family. And I'm always interested in people's relationship backstories, like how did you get together with your partner, and how did I'm always interested in that because I always find that like a really interesting story, right? It's like where did you meet your partner? partner and how did it develop? And especially when people have been together for like a long period of time, right? 30, 40 years, and you go back and you look at the origin of the family and things. And so I was like, how did you meet your husband? How did you get together? And she said, well, he offered me a biscuit. She said I was at this I was in this room at university and he offered me a biscuit and she said it was my favorite biscuit and he didn't know that right and that was enough right that was enough to bring these two people together
Something
and
so tiny, but
yeah.
so huge at the same time.
Well, yes, small things with massive impacts, right? Small things with massive impacts. I don't think we realize how fast we're traveling through life. It's like a take the analogy of like a meteor can be really small, but it's traveling so fast that the impact it makes can be massively devastating, right? And I kind of think that we're all like that, yeah? That we're all having impacts all of the time, but we don't realize, especially with the parent to child relationship. Like I say things to my kids sometimes, and I find myself thinking, what did I just say? Oh my God, I hope they don't internalize that. That
Well,
would freak
and
me out.
when you're more aware, that happens, right? Whereas, like for me, with my first two kids, I thank God they're healthy humans, but who knows, right? I was 18 with two kids. I had no idea the things I might have said to them. Like, and I do the exact same thing, but now with these kids, I'm like, if I do say something, then I'm like right away, I'll be like, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have said that. That was very mean and very like be accountable and say, I'm sorry, that is not okay. But I am human and I make mistakes and I get angry. But if I can be aware of that, then I can, talk to you and communicate with you on a level that you're going to understand. Because when, like yesterday was a prime example, I was trying to reply to an email and my 4-year-old kept just coming over and interrupting me. And I was like, would you just go away? I need to get this done. And I was like, and then my husband looked at me and he was like, whoa. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, Bradley. I said, I'm really just trying to respond. And every time you interrupt me, I lose my train of thought. And I just want to get this done so I can spend time with you. And he says, okay, I'll just wait right here for you. And he sat there quietly. But, it's like those things where we just don't, you jump to an emotion like anger. Because you're frustrated, whereas, I could do many different things instead of tell him to go away, and for me especially, I have my husband. I don't know if we've talked about this before, but he's always on a cell phone, and it drives me crazy because I feel like, well, with my 4-year-old, he's resorted to, he won't even bug him anymore. He'll just go off and do his own thing. And that bothers me. That really makes me sad inside to watch that happen. And so I really try to explain to him, you have to give these kids attention because they just don't stay little forever. And everything we do up until, I think they say age 7, and I'm sure it goes further than that, but those first 7 years are so critical to really put our kids as to who they're going to be and what they're going to think about themselves. And I know from my perspective, I'm 40 years old next year, and I still have issues because my parents didn't have time for me. So for me, I would rather be alone, and I've learned to be independent and not ask for help from anyone, and that puts me back sometimes because I can't control everything. I do need help. I am human.
Absolutely. There's that element of insularness doesn't help because we need the human connection. And if we just kind of keep to ourselves, we kind of don't achieve as much as we could because Life kind of functions like a team sport. Yeah, you
Well,
can't
that's
get
right.
through it without making connections and having other people to lean on. It's absolutely not possible. And I know, because I've tried it. It doesn't work. Okay, so,
Yeah, no.
I mean, it's
No,
obvious.
it
It's obvious to
doesn't.
most people that it doesn't work. But it's like okay, I just that extra element there of like I know for a fact it doesn't work, right? So it's important to reflect back and to kind of be aware of what happened to you that you liked and that you didn't like as a child, and that had a positive or negative effect, and
Yeah.
not
Well, and
to. On you go.
I think just knowing that too, right? Like knowing when something comes up that's triggering you and knowing where it comes from helps you to move forward rather than to be stuck. Because if you don't, like for me, like the issues I have in my relationship are because I need a connection, but because I don't know what a connection is, right?
Oh
Like what I want is something that I don't even know because I didn't have it as a child growing up. My mom had to work, my stepdad worked. We just did our own thing. And so that's kind of what I do. But in my relationship, when he does his own thing, that triggers me because it's like I want a partnership. I want to know that you have my back no matter what, and vice versa. And when I don't, when you're doing your thing and I'm doing my thing, and we're just kind of meeting in the middle for a couple hours every night, and we're still kind of doing our own thing, that's not enough for me. And that, but at the same time, I don't know how to get that. Do you know what I mean? Because it's
It's more
nothing
the
that
it's part of the model that's missing, because I mean, how do you
That's
form
right.
a healthy relationship if you've never seen one,
That's
right? I
right,
mean,
exactly.
it's not as easy as looking online and finding the right recipe. Okay, I mean,
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
it it's not that simple, because
Yeah.
you're dealing with a lot of fixed elements of self. Now you can grow, you can change, but you are you. So
Yeah.
you're
Yeah.
kind of fighting against your own prejudice, which exists from your own
Yeah.
experience.
Yeah, and that's exactly where it comes down to. And I know for myself, like just being aware of that and knowing that, okay, this is why, this is why this is bothering me. And now I need to look at it more from my side. And me and my husband actually had a talk the other night, and he said, I've noticed you've a lot different, not complaining all the time about this connection we don't have since you've been doing like all your relationship, your coaching and stuff. And I was like, well, what I realized is that there are things that really drive me crazy about you, but at the same time, I've had enough self-reflection to realize that I'm not perfect either. And you put up with things that I do, which one of them is I'm quite antisocial because too many people and too much noise really bothers me. And so he will go to functions by himself. And he never complains. He never says anything about it. He just does it because he loves me and he accepts that part of me. So why can't I do the same? Why do I have to feel like I need to change him to me, to what I want, right? I need to accept it. Obviously, if it was something major, major, then there's a difference. But some things aren't major, when you look at it that way.
Well, people aren't gardens, and what I mean by that is you can landscape the garden, right? But you can't really landscape the person. They are who they are. You're only gonna create resistance if you try to change people a lot of the time without some kind of the extreme form of brainwashing or the constant communist hammer on the nail, right? I mean, you're not really going to change people at all. I mean, I've never the only time I've seen people change is when people made mistakes with who other people are, right? Somebody thought somebody was a certain type of character and they weren't. And this is in all of the relationships. And just as a side note, so I was watching a relationship video about a week ago, and I came across a term. Now, probably you've heard this, but I hadn't heard it before. I'd experienced this, but I didn't know how to voice what it was. It's triangulation in relationships. I don't know if you're aware of that term, where one person in a two-person relationship will bring in other people to support and control the whole conversation and use this to disorientate the other person in the situation. And I've experienced this in certain relationships and known that it was negative, but not quite know how to voice it. And it's just something that hit home very recently in terms of when you're in the, it's a great example is the child to parent relationship, and this is my own personal experience with this, that and my partner referred to it as a kind of gaslighting, where the parent will bring in other older knowledgeable people to support their perspective against the child or against what they're doing negative towards the child, and the child has got no idea what's going on, right? Because the child is just like trying to navigate the maze, right? And not step on too many toes, yeah, and not break too many rules. But I hadn't realized how powerful this was and how much a part of my growing up this was until very recently, where I was able to pinpoint the fact that certain older people in my environment were able to bring in other people to support their opinion, and so they were right, when in fact they were so far away from right, it was unbelievable. But as a child, you very often don't have the resources, the knowledge, the voice, the courage to actually, do anything about the situation. And it's very, very interesting now that I'm a little bit older and I'm able to look at other people's relationships, and now I'm able to see it when it happens, and I'm like, okay, now I understand. I was aware that something was wrong, but I couldn't exactly say what it was. And I've now seen, in the last week, I've seen people running around desperately trying to get certain information from certain people or to find out as much information as possible from other people. And I was like, why do people do that? Why do people do that? What's all this need for information and sharing things and gossip? And what's this all about? And it's triangulation. It's a desperate attempt to control the narrative of
Well,
something.
and they just have to have people on their side so that they can prove that they are right or their point is valid, right?
Yes, absolutely.
My mother actually did that to me because I'm a anti-vaxxer. I do not vaccinate my children, and she actually told me that she thinks I'm retarded, pretty much. And I was like, well, I may think that about people that do vaccinate, but I don't say that. So she called me one day and she says, I talked to a nurse at the hospital because she works at the hospital.
There you,
I
this is
talked to a
it, yeah.
nurse.
This is it,
Yeah,
yep.
exactly. And she says, this nurse told me this and this nurse told me that. And I'm like, well, this nurse needs to be educated. I said to her, I said, if you want to vaccinate your children, that's fine. I have no problem with it, but I choose not to do it with mine. And that's a choice. And I'm not going to criticize you because you do or you don't. That's just a choice that you have. It's just as simple as, well, maybe it's not, but to me it is. To me, it's just as simple as whether you choose to breastfeed or I don't. Like, I'm not going to judge you because you do and I don't, and I don't expect to be judged back, but that's a perfect example, and she'll do that all the time just to right and you're and that's just all there is to it.
Yeah, well, that's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's a perfect example where they seek They go out of their way to seek validation from other people about decisions that they are unsure about themselves. And rather, and you know, the correct response to that is, yeah, sure, put the facts on the table, you know? Put the facts on the table and I'll look at them because I trust but verify, right? You
Well,
know.
yeah, and that's exactly it, and that's what I tell her. I don't go based off theory. I go based off facts, you know, and what's truth to me, it might be totally different than you, and that's okay. Like, everyone's truth is different, and you know, with vaccinations, with medications, with government, with whatever, it doesn't matter. You know, we're human. That's the one thing we do have the same, but our opinions and our thoughts are always going to be different. And like we've talked about many times, perception is everything, and everyone's perception is their own. So you can't possibly expect one person to totally agree. You know, I have friends that agree with me on everything except for one certain thing, but they don't not talk to me because they don't agree with me.
Oh
You know,
yeah,
and we
absolutely.
usually just stay away from that topic.
Well, it's you don't need to stay away from a topic if you are able to accept a variety of perspectives on a
Yeah,
particular on a
exactly.
particular issue. And
Yeah.
also I think intelligent people are able to disassociate themselves from certain ideas. And I was talking about this with
Yeah.
a client this morning where I no longer tell people what I think about anything,
Yeah.
really. What I
Yeah.
do when I'm working through an idea with people, I ask them, are you aware of the counter argument? You know?
Yeah,
So
yeah.
you've got this perspective. Okay, that's great. Now tell me, you know, how what informs you of that perspective? What's the basis of the information? Okay, great. Now are you aware of the counter arguments to that?
Yeah.
Can you present them to me? Because if you're not aware of the counter arguments, you've got nothing to base your evidence against, right?
That's right. Yeah.
So not only do you have to know what is true, you have to know what is not true.
That's right. Yeah, I think
You
so too. I think so. And I think, like, I know with my mom, I've told her that many times, you know, there's certain things, like if it was back in the day, you know, with the vaccinations, back in the day they gave them three or four different things: mumps, measles, rubella, and polio. That was it. Nowadays they give your baby a shot as soon as it's like 2 weeks old. That's not okay with me. You know, that scares me, and I don't know. Yeah, maybe every baby reacts, but I'm not going to put my child in that situation. And if, you know, they have to be vaccinated to go to a certain school, they won't go to that school. I'll teach them myself if I have to. You know,
Yeah,
I'm
well,
willing to do that.
it's an intelligence test. Look, that's all it is.
Yeah.
It's an intelligence
Yeah.
test. Can you read the label? Do you know what? Do you know what's in it? Have you
Yeah,
studied
most of
the
them don't
information?
even know. They won't even tell you that because they have
If
no idea. And my mom says to me,
sorry, I have to say this. Just to put
yeah, go
this in,
ahead.
it's the argument is, if your child is vaccinated and my child is not, then your child is safe. Right,
Yes.
right,
Yes.
right,
In theory, that's how, yeah,
right,
you should have absolutely no worries.
right, right. So, yeah, you're beyond that. Please, somebody, you know, there's no argument, right?
No,
There's
there's
no.
not. There's absolutely no argument. I agree with you. And that's what I say every time somebody says to me. Because that's the thing they'll come up with is, your kid's going to get sick and make my kid sick. And I'm like, wait a minute. If these vaccinations that you promote so well, if they work, your kid shouldn't get
Oh,
sick.
yeah,
You
absolutely.
know? But that's not the case. And that's what the thing is they don't research it. My mom says to me, I don't know, they told me I needed to do it, so I just did it. I just do what I'm told. And I'm like, well, that's where I'm a little different. And you, as my mother, should know that. If I don't feel good about it, I don't do it. And, you know, if somebody presented me facts, clear facts that I should be doing it, I'll look at them and I'll make a decision based on those facts. But until then, I'm not going to do that. And it just strikes me as odd that somebody would be so adamant when they have no facts. They're just simply going based on what you should do or what the mass, the sheep do. That, like, that's me. I'm all about sheep, and I'm like the black sheep out of the herd. I'm constantly questioning everything because nobody else does. Why do we just do what we do? I'm not okay with that. I'm not, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, it's what happens is it catches up with people eventually, whether they want it to or not. I mean, I question things quite a lot more than most of the people around about me, and I've slowly watched the people get eaten by the ideas that they don't question, because I think that it eats away at a person's own mind. Because I'm thinking specifically of one older person that I know at the moment who has been vindictive towards other people and has slowly lost friends, and now as they get older, they have problems hiding their what they've done, right? Because they're as you get older, you become less aware of certain things, yeah. And so it's now becoming more visible to other people, less visible to that person themselves. And it catches up with you. Whatever you do, it catches up with you. Whatever you the partying in the 20s catches up with you in your 30s, right? It
Yeah, it sure does,
and the lack of effort put into studying in your teenage years, it catches up with you in your mid-20s. It catches up with you.
Well, and I think even in relationships too, like, you can the for myself, one thing comes to mind is, before I was aware of my own crap, I would push people away, not even knowing, not even really doing it purposely. But now that I look at it, and then I look sometimes, not so much now because I'm happy, but when I wasn't happy, I was like, oh, what my life could have been if I would have done. You know what I mean? Like, if I would have known what I know now, things could have been so different. And it sucks to have to go through life like that. Like, I know for my kids, I really teach awareness. I teach meditation. I teach mindfulness. I teach all these things, empathy. It is something that we all have, and if you're taught it, you can do it. You can, look at it that way and treat people that way, right? Because you don't, like with my kids, I always say, how would you like it if that was done to you? And it's a valid question. Maybe they can't understand, but if you take the time, like, I know my little guy today, he came up and I can't remember what I did. I don't know what I did, but he came up and he just hit me as hard as he could. And so I smacked him on the back. And he starts crying and I said, well, how do you like it? You just came up and smacked me as hard as you can. You can't do that to people. You didn't like it when I did. And he's like, I'm sorry, mommy. I will never do that again. But it's that, you have to know what it feels like to kind of relate to other people.
Yeah, the short, sharp shock sometimes works, right? I mean, that's the way that it goes. I mean, it's there's so many ways to navigate so many different problems, and there's no certainty
No, there's
that
not.
anyway is going to work.
Well, and for every person and every child is different too, right? Like, I could smack my little guy and he'd just look at me and laugh. So it's kind of, I think every human's different, and what works for one is different from the other. And I don't think, I think hitting is totally wrong, but children seem to do it for some reason. And I don't know, I've always been a firm advocate, like, even when they're little and they pull your hair, you give them a little tug back, and then they say, oh, that hurts. I'm not going to do that because I don't want that done to me. But that could be just the way I was raised, because my mom was the exact same way. So in some ways, I'm very much like her.
Yeah, the The thing that bothers me is this, where do kids get it from kind of issue. It's like my children will say or do things, and I will think, okay, where's that come from? Has that come from me? Has that come from someone else, somewhere else? Where did they learn that? Because I think you can only really learn things from the experiences that you have. There's an argument against
Oh,
that,
for sure. I think
but
I agree. I agree.
yeah, so it's coming from somewhere. So anytime that there's something negative, it's coming from somewhere. And again, it requires a certain level of self-awareness to understand where it is things are coming from, and not just brush it off as oh well, that's just the way that it is. Because personally, I don't subscribe to that's just the way that it is. I think that's just a way of this lazy way of looking at anything, right?
Well, I think so too. And that's, it's kind of being a bit complacent too, because then you're just accepting that certain behavior is okay and that's not okay. Like for me, hitting is not okay. It's not okay if I hit my kids, but at the same time, that's as humans, that's kind of how we've evolved. I think I'm not sure what monkeys do to their kids, but I'd be interested to find out. Spit
Yeah,
that
well,
out, you can't eat crayons.
you can't, but you can. It just doesn't have a positive effect, right?
Oh, he's just biting little pieces off, spitting them out. Nice. That's what we love. You are artistic, aren't you? Yeah.
as long as they spit them out, that's okay, right?
He
Right.
spits it in his mouth and he goes, yuck, spits it out. Is that yucky?
Yeah,
Yuck.
I think it's important not to get stuck in a kind of passive mindset as well,
No.
where like my son was saying the other day, he was using language like he was talking about things happening to him, yeah, and I said to him, do you have no control over the situation? I don't these things are happening to you. Really? So you're just there with no control. You can't influence it. You don't have any choices in the situation. These things just happen. Because I said I don't think that things just happen. I think that there's a reason, and you can choose to not be there. You can choose to not put yourself in that position. You can choose to walk away. And if people want to get involved in hitting and stuff, like I said, I mean, there's places for it, right? I mean,
Yeah, that's right.
if someone's being over physical, then you get them to a place where they can get it out of themselves. Some men actually need to beat the shit out of each other every now and then, and I mean that sort of in a I don't know, like in a boxing ring, with some rules and with the gloves on, and just to get the energy out of themselves that is actually there. Right, I personally agree with a more peaceful parenting approach, but I think if we're trying to do everything peaceful, then we're going to get overrun eventually by people who are not peaceful. So
Well, that's
I
just
think
it. And
they're
I think it seems like children are kind of wired to be a bit aggressive. Like, not all of them. Some are, like, I know out of my four kids, two of them were more aggressive than the other two, but they all try to hit or try to, hurt people in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I think you have to stay with. I
They're
think you have
some
to
worst.
realize that
My
there's.
little guy here is the worst.
I think you have to realize that there's a game, and you have to stay within the rules of the game. Whether it's the game of life,
That's
or
right.
the game of relationships, or whether you're playing a sport or something. I mean, my daughter was playing football in the local park with soccer, if that not the other thing as well, right? Okay, and with a group of boys, and she was the only girl playing, and she would get pushed and kind of kicked and hit, and she'd fall over and stuff, and I was watching it kind of with my eyes half closed, going, I can't look, because it was kind of. It was because she's five, right? And it was more like when you're playing football at the age of five, it's more rugby than it is football, right? Right? And but I think it's all character building, right? I think it's all it's building up an element of understanding of how far you can push yourself and what it's like to have physical contact with other people. And there's a certain paranoia in society about, physical contact and that people shouldn't have physical contact. And it's like it's kind of it's understandable, but you can't live not having that element there. Oh, I hear you're busy again. Things
Oh
okay?
no, I just put the baby down for a nap. It's nap
Wow.
time for the baby, so that's where he just went. He's in his room. He does the we have to do the sleep training with him. So he just kind of gets put in his crib and eventually he goes to sleep.
Well, I guess there's a lot of people who are spend time wishing the kids would go to sleep, and the kids don't want to go to sleep, and it's a kind of a rough thing. But
Yeah,
you've got to
this
work
little
through it.
guy always had an issue with sleep, so we had to go to other measures like all my kids, all three of them before this one. You would rock them, give them a bottle, and put them to bed, but this little guy wakes up every 45 minutes. So he wouldn't get into that REM sleep. So it's actually kind of a funny story because I ran into this lady ordering food and she had a little baby, and so of course I had to peek in and say hi to the baby and see. And when I got in there, or when I seen her, I said, "Oh, I have one at home. He's 7 months old and he just doesn't sleep." And she says, "Oh my goodness, my older one was like that. And there's this Facebook group, you have to join it." So I did, and that night I put into effect their training policy, which is put them into bed, take away all sleep aids, so soothers, bottles, everything gone, and just let them cry themselves asleep. And you can let them cry up to an hour. And eventually they'll go to sleep. And he cried for 20 minutes. And for the first night in 7 months, he slept for the whole night. And I was like, hallelujah! So, but now we still have to do the same thing. He still sleeps all night, but he has to cry himself to sleep. And it breaks my heart even now. Like, that was 7 months. He's just about two. And I hate listening to him cry because it just eats at me. But it's not really a cry cry, it's more of just like a scream, like a protest, And within usually 10 minutes at very most, he's sleeping and he'll sleep all night and 3 hour nap in the daytime, so
That's
it's
great.
great.
That's absolutely
I
great. I
get to
mean,
sleep all night. Yeah.
I was talking with a client this morning who's just had a baby recently, like 6 weeks old, and they were talking about all the advice that they were getting from the doctor about the exercises they should do with the baby and the position the baby should be in, and I just said like it's too much, right? There's a certain level of information which is useful, but and he, this person was explaining to me, well, the doctor said they're not going to develop muscles in the neck if they don't spend time on their front and learn to lift their head. And I just said, well, look around you at society, look around you at the world. Do you see anyone who obviously had problems developing their neck muscles as a baby? Like zero, right? Right? There's zero. Yeah. So, would I think we are in danger sometimes, because I have to say sometimes, because it's not always in danger sometimes of overparenting. Yeah, which is with the kids, and I think that I did that a little bit with our first kid, although now things are a bit mental. Talking about sleeping, right? We're still doing the bed hopping thing, like, because we've got three young kids, and every
Oh
do you know what
no.
I'm talking? It's like everybody will go to bed in a bed, but everybody will wake up in a different bed in the morning.
We have the same thing here with my 4-year-old, 'cause I didn't know about sleep training back then, so he'll wake up in the middle of the night and he comes crying to the side of my bed. So then I just go to his bed, and instead of just like waiting till he goes back to sleep, I end up falling asleep, and then I wake up and I'm like, where am I? I'm
Oh,
sure
yeah.
I went to bed in my bed tonight. I'm sure I did.
Yeah, well, I've got that. I mean, I woke up the other day and like my partner wasn't in the bed, but my son was. I'm like, how did he get here? I was like to my son, how did you get here? He's like, I don't know. And I'm like, so where's my partner? She's in a completely different room with the youngest kid. And it's not a bad thing. It's just the way it is, you know? It's just the way it is
Well,
when
and
you've
I
got young
think,
kids.
I don't know, for myself, like I don't know. I think they're only little for so long, and that time goes by so fast that that's one of the things, that's one of the small things I don't sweat. It's like if I, within another 3 years, my oldest one isn't going to want me anywhere near his room. So, if right now I can snuggle up to him, and like he says to me when I lay beside him, he's like, I need your love. Can you snuggle me? And I'm like, gladly, I will snuggle you. And that's what he's like. But like I said, in 3 years, that's going to change. So I'm taking advantage
Absolutely.
of it now while I can. And I'm not complaining because I know full well, like having the older girls that are gone from home now, it's they just don't stay young forever. And eventually they leave the nest and they have their own, lives and all this kind of stuff. And it's before you know it, I was talking to my father-in-law. We went to a wedding 2 weekends ago, and I said to him, I said, what's it like watching your granddaughter get married? And he says, I just don't know how time goes by so fast. And I said, I know, like when we're young, when we're kids, time just stands still. It's like we want to get out of the house, we want to grow up, we want to be independent. And then we hit, like, I know for me being just about 40, it's like, months go by and it seems like just a blink of an eye. My oldest, which was youngest, is now in kindergarten, and it's like, where did the time go? Like, it doesn't seem like 5 years ago he was born, like seemed like just yesterday.
Oh yeah, it does. Days disappear. They
Oh yeah,
just
yeah.
disappear. They go somewhere. Time disappears. It goes somewhere. God knows where it goes, but
Yeah.
it goes somewhere. So, you know, when the kids are young, develop the bond while you can.
That's
Because if you
right, yeah.
develop the bond while you can, it will always be there. Because if you don't
Yeah.
develop it when they're young, you have to work twice as hard to try and develop anything at all later on. So.
Well, I agree because I know, like with my mom, sometimes when I look at her, I don't even feel like she's my mom, Whereas with my kids, it's like I'm just like, kids are my life, so and they know that. They know that they can come to me with anything, And my older girls, like my oldest, she'll be 21. She came home the other day for supper. She only lives an hour away, but we don't get to see each other because we have lives and she works full time. So we see each other about once a month, and she came for a couple hours, and then she messaged me later on that night, and she says, I miss you guys already. And I'm like, aw, and I don't ever think that. When I leave my mom, it's like, whew, I feel so much better. It's different, and I don't ever want my kids to think that way about me, that much I know.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people out there in the world who have very little real emotional contact with their parents. I think there's a lot of people out there because I think that there's a lot of people who either had negative experiences from their parents, or their parents didn't know what they were doing, or you know, they suffered some kind of abandonment feeling as a result of bad parenting, and it's they still have to deal with it, I think, and it's a long, slow process. I think both you and I have gone through some of that process of dealing with that, but it's endless. You know, one of the things that I'm doing at the moment is spending time in a place that I normally wouldn't spend time because I know there's something I can learn from being in a slightly
Yeah.
more difficult situation. So
Yeah.
it's a challenge, and me being me, I like a good challenge. I don't want to suffer the same challenge forever,
Yeah.
but for a period of time, it's worth, going through the experience of trying to understand people and trying to understand the past. And I heard a quote from Jordan Peterson which resonated with me, and he said that you always have to invite the evil queen or the wicked witch to the party. And the reason that he gave was that so everybody knows who it is.
Because those kind of people are the way they are.
Yeah.
And
Yeah, so
it just doesn't matter. Yeah. I know
yeah.
my husband used to say, I don't know why you stress so much when your mom comes over. And now, after 6 years being together, he says, are you going to be okay? Do you want me to come home early? Like, what can I do for you to make you not stress so much? Because I understand.
Oh yeah. Oh
Yeah,
yeah. Oh
it's
yeah,
funny
absolutely.
because those kind of people, like, I love my mom to death because she's my mom, but I don't think, if I had a choice to hang out with her and for her to be my friend, that wouldn't happen. Because her energy drags me down, and I get that she has her issues, but I can't fix that. And I sure as heck am not going to put myself in that energy, not to mention my children in that energy either, because it's just not, it's toxic. At least it
Oh
is to
yeah.
me.
Well, you've got to be aware of what's going on, because there's a lot of people who are not aware. Everything starts with awareness. Everything starts with beginning to understand the people, the environment, and everything that's happening around about. And look, I finish with just a little insane little story. So I heard my mother talking to my son the other day. And my son has lost his favorite gun. He put it somewhere. Oh, this is his second favorite gun. After his Star Wars plastic gun got confiscated by the airline, right?
Oh
Who said that you can't carry guns on flights?
Oh, jeez. My
And the
goodness.
reason they gave was, well, it resembled a real gun. And I was like, when was the last time you saw a Star Wars laser gun that actually worked? Seriously, it was confiscated by the airline. So we got him another one to play with. And he's lost that somewhere. And I heard my mother telling my son that I had hidden the gun because I didn't want him to have it.
Oh, goodness.
Right, which is it's complete fabrication. Okay, I don't know where the gun is, and I'd like to know where it is so that he could have it. Was it annoying me? It was, but I wouldn't hide it. I mean, that's just ridiculous. I talked to my son about it, but hiding it just makes another problem, right? So why would I do that?
Let
So,
me guess, she doesn't like guns. Or doesn't think the kids should have them, maybe.
I haven't worked that out yet. That's still a puzzle in the process of being solved. But that I'm here to study those kinds of things, right? I'm like, why would a person do that? What is there to gain or lose from doing
Yeah,
that? Is the
the motive
yeah.
behind it, yeah.
Who benefits from it? What is it conscious or subconscious? There's so many different elements to look at there. So it's kind of awareness. It sort of begins with awareness, and I'm like, okay, this is happening. Interesting. And I had to and I had to I had to take my son to one side, and I had to say, "Hey, come and sit down here. We got to talk about this a little bit." So your grandmother told you something, yeah. And I got to tell you that she's a bit older, and Sometimes she makes mistakes. She thinks that things are a certain way and they're not. And I said, I don't know why that is. I've got no idea personally, but I just need you to know that she does this sometimes. It's not good, it's not right, but she does this. And you know what I said earlier about the Jordan Peterson kind of quote? You've got to make people aware that some people are like that. Because it raises the awareness level then. Now, of course, life would be better without these kinds of things, but it does kind of sharpen the sense of awareness when people experience it and they become aware that okay, this kind of thing happens. The it's not all sunshine and roses, and there's not any sunshine at all here right now. I just want to say, I'm standing at this big old Victorian house window. I'm looking out the window, and you've never seen anything. You've never seen weather more Mordor-like. It's been dark all day. It's rained all day. There's nothing positive to say about it. Wind. The trees are at like 45 degrees because of the wind,
Oh,
right?
wow. Yucky.
It's.
We don't have any sun and we have lots of clouds, but no wind.
I
Thank
mean,
goodness.
this is just. This I don't. Oh, if I was writing a horror film, right? This is the kind of weather.
That's where you'd film
Yeah,
it.
this is the kind of weather that, I'd be like the people turn up. It's a little village in the Highlands, like that. I'd be like the family turn up in the camper van looking for a place to stay. This would be the weather,
Yeah.
that they
I
arrive
have
in.
I actually have a friend that came to Canada from Scotland and she just loves it here for that reason. She said the sun is so glorious. It's like she said they didn't ever see that there. It's just horrible weather there.
Well, I didn't realize that the difference, and it took me about 20 years to overcome the difference, right? Of and now I'm like, and now I'm like, I grew up in this. Oh my God. Oh my God! It's like I must have like I didn't I must have not seen the sun for years. I mean, that's just.
Wonder I was a depressed
Yeah,
teenager.
I know it's going through my head because you see all those reports about how healthy sunshine is for you and how you need like a certain amount of it. And it's like the people you don't get any. It's insane. And I was
Maybe you could go to the drugstore or something and get yourself some vitamin D drops. Maybe that'd make you feel a bit
Yeah,
better.
maybe that'd work. And I was watching some interview a couple of weeks ago with somebody who was saying, like giving these motivational tips for, ways to make your day brighter, ways to sharpen your mind. And this guy was saying, I take a cold shower every morning, and when I get up, and that refreshes me and wakes me up and prepares me for the day, and gets me ready to go out there and do things. And I've heard a number of people talk about this, and I came to a realization that they all live in places like California, right, where it's really warm, and having a cold shower is really easy when it's really warm, right? Because it's kind of what you need to do. And I was like, I would be insane here having a cold shower because it's so bloody cold and wet and dark all the time. It's just madness.
Yeah, that would not work for me either.
No, it's not gonna happen here. I just like you have to appreciate the nice things for that make life a little bit better, like a warm
And
shower
sunshine,
and
yeah.
sunshine. Oh, please put some in a box and send some to me, please, or an email, or I don't know how to do that, but
Well, we haven't had sun here for 3 or 4 days, so I can't. I'm kind of in the same spot, so anybody listening can send us both a little sunshine.
That would be good. That would be good. Right.
That
Cool.
sure would,
Hey, thanks for the chat. It's been really great to discuss all the elements of parenting and experience and all the things like that. It's always great to
It is
talk to you.
always great.
to
Yeah.
talk with you about those things. And what's on
You're
your radar
welcome.
coming up? Anything interesting?
No, not much. I've just been kind of keeping low, hanging low for a bit, just working. We've been actually doing, my little guy is wanting to be a YouTuber, so we've been working on some videos for him. So that's been fun, and I've been working on my video editing skills. So yeah, that's pretty much all we're doing these days.
We were doing stop motion videos today with Lego. So we
Oh,
film.
fun.
We just download a little app and then sort of take the pictures and then put all the pictures together in the app, and it makes a little film. And
Oh,
then the
cool.
and then the computer crashed.
Oh,
So
jeez.
I'm like,
No fun.
yay, yay! Another thing to fix today, along with all the other little things that I have to fix today. It'll all get
Least
done.
you'll be busy. Yeah.
Thank you for that. Yeah, there's picking a little positive out of it.
That's right. That's right. You won't get bored.
Oh no, I haven't been bored for about the last 20 years, so it's not gonna happen right now, for sure.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Boredom is not good.
I think I got this theory about boredom. I think boredom is just a lack of freedom. That's what I think
Yeah.
boredom is. I think you don't have the freedom to make the choices that you want to make, so or that you need to make, and so the result is just your brain shuts down. So that's
Yeah.
my opinion about that. But
Yeah.
anyway, it would be great to chat again in a couple of weeks, or connect up and
Yeah, for sure.
see how things are going. And have fun with whatever it is that you're doing. Stay healthy, look after the kids, do all the good stuff. Do all the good stuff for sure.
Awesome. You too.
Okay,
Well, hopefully you
I
see
will.
some sunshine soon and we'll talk again soon.
Absolutely. And shoot me in the message box an email address, and I will pop the audio to you, and you can do whatever with it that you want. Okay.
Sounds good.
Super cool. Have a great one, and
Okay.
I'll speak to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.